Today's daf is daf tesvav. Today's daf, like to learn zeichon nishmas, my great grandfather of Shmuel Ben David, whose yahrzeit is today, erev Pesach. Okay. We left off a couple lines at the top on tesvav. The Gemara is still continuing discussing the idea of they sent the last son Bigdei Kilayim. I sent Bigdei Kilayim to your friend on Yontif. So the Gemara is not discussing Bigdei Kilayim. So Amar Rava. Rava says Hanei Tzerore Dipshite. These cloths, I guess, that you use to gather, they became like a money pouch. They became a coin pouch, right? Ein v'hem mishum kilayim. There is no iser kilayim with them, so therefore a person is allowed to like leave them on his lap, even though these pouches contain kilayim, because the money makes it hard. And we just said that something's hard. There's no. It's not going to be mechayim the goof. It's not going to have a problem of kilayim. But the vizrani, these are sort of they're not a money pouch. They're a seed pouch. You keep seeds inside. Yesh behem mishum kilayim. There is kilayim because they are the zrayim are soft. It's not hard, and therefore it doesn't harden the cloth, and therefore you have a problem. It's being mechamim the goof. It's going to warm the body, and therefore you would have a problem with kilayim. But Rav Ashi Amar, no, echad zeh ve'echad zeh. Both of these are not considered kilayim. Ein behem mishum kilayim. Why? Lefish ein terachim mekach. That's not the way you warm up with an article of clothing, by putting a pouch on your lap. So there's no kilayim, no problem with kilayim. But the mission that continued, avalo, they don't send, you can't send on yontif to your friend, sandal hamasumar, which is basically the nailed sandal. Why? Sandal hamasumar, my time, you don't send it. Lo, my time, lo, mishu, maise shahaya, because if the Gemara in Shabbos that describes it, I think it's on Daf Samach, the story that they were hiding, must be their times of the Bar Kokhba revolt, they were hiding in the caves. They thought the Romans came, they started, it was like a stampede, they started trampling each other way out, and they were wearing these spiked type shoes, and more damage was done to each other by the shoes than by the Romans themselves. So there was a takana that you're not allowed to wear these shoes on Shabbos and Yontif, and once you're not allowed to wear them on Shabbos and Yontif, so therefore you can't send them to anybody. The Mishnah says you only can send stuff that can be used. So Amar Abayi said, Sada the Masumar Aslan Nalo, you're not allowed to wear it on Yontif. But it's not muksa. You're allowed to carry it, right? The gezeira was only not allowed to wear. Doesn't be glad. There's no gezeira on muksa. It's not considered muksa. Just can't wear it, right? It must have some other usage. It must have some. It's a kli. Maybe it's a kli from after lisser. I don't know. Therefore, it can be moved, right? Rashi says mutlatatlo the klihu. It's a kli. So asul and why? Why can't you move it? Because the story that took place mutlatatlo. And how do you know that there's no isra muksa? Because the Ketani, the Mishnah says, "Ein mishalkin." You're not allowed to send it. Now, Isak Adaitach, had you thought that it's Asul Taltalo, that there's an Isra Muksa, so what would been your having me to say? You could send it, right? Asul Taltalo, Hashda Tultuli, Asur Mishalkin, me boy. You thought that it's Asul Taltalo, you could put it in a package and send it over to your friend. Once they have to tell you that you can't send it, must mean you would have thought you could send it because it's not Muksa, Kamashman, and even so, you can't send it. Just not being able to use it on Yantif is not allowed to wear it on Yantif means that you can't send it. Fine. Next. The law, the Mishnah says, lo min al shen eino metafor. You may not send on Yontif to your friend a shoe that is not stitched. So it says, pshita, if it's not stitched, then what is it? What uses do you have for it? It says, lo nitzucha, the apagav de nakit b'sike. Even though it is tied with CK. Rashi brings two definitions of what does that mean, b'sike. Rashi says, number one, Yisedos ketano shel eitz, that's like these wooden pegs holding it together. V'yesh omrim, tofer shtei tfiros be'emso, u'shtayim be'rosho, u'shtayim be'ikvo. You just say, you know, it's a slop job. You know, nothing, you know, two stitches in the front, two stitches in the back, two stitches in the middle, just to hold it together. Even so, that's not considered good enough, not considered useful enough, because I guess maybe you can wear it for a short period of time, maybe it's going to fall out. Whatever the reason is, it's not considered useful enough, and therefore cannot be sent, if it's in that state, cannot be sent on Yontif. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yehuda says, Aflo min alavan. You may not say a white shoe, a white sandal. White's that color. And I guess it's not right to be worn now because I guess the way was not to wear the white shoe. It needed some sort of craftsman to blacken it, to darken it. So Tanya, we're in a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shachor. Rabbi Yehuda allows you to send a blackened shoe on Yontif. The oser b'lavan. Like our Mishnah says, he's not allowed to send the white shoe. Mipnei shet sarich. Bitzas hagir. You need the bitzas hagir, which is some sort of dirt or something like that. Some sort of polish, I guess, that would darken the shoe.
Is this where white shoe wool come from?
I doubt it. Bitzas hagir, Rashi says, is gear min karka hamashir. The gear from a karka hamashir. I don't know what gear, how he defines gear. Bitzas kol davar. What does bitzas mean? Kol davar nalosh nasa av kari bitzas. Anything that is put together with water and becomes a sort of solid compound, that's considered a bitzas. So they have this compound, they have to put it together.
Mud?
What?
Would it be mud?
I don't know if it would be mud, because that probably doesn't require a ma'isa uman. Just stick it in mud. It has to be some sort of compound.
You're saying that bitzas means that it's water and dirt. That would be mud.
No, it's bitzas hagir. It turns into this solid type item, but the gear, which is some sort of blackening component compound. Rabbi Yossi oser b'shachor. But Rabbi Yossi says even sending a blackened shoe is usher on Yontif. But it still has a ma'aser uman that you still have to smooth it. Still has to be smoothed out. So it seems to be the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Yehuda. The Gemara says no. Lo pligi, there's no machlokas. Marka asrei. Because each one is talking about the type of shoes that were worn in their neighborhood. It depends on which side of the leather, of the hide, was placed on the outside. If the side that needs to be smooth is placed on the outside, it'll be awesome. You still have to do a ma'aser uman. If the side that needs to be smooth is on the inside, well, you don't care because it doesn't look like anything. It doesn't look bad if it's on the inside, and you would send it as long as it's black. So that's the reason. Inside, market the asrei or market asrei. The asrei, the mar, in the makom of Rabbi Yehuda, where they do is bishul esachas. They would take the fleshy side, I guess, of the skin of the hides, and that would be on the inside of the shoe. Fleshy side is one that has hairs and all that stuff. That's the stuff that we wouldn't want people to see. So if it's on the inside, you don't care. So you don't need any smoothing out. But to Asri Damar, when the Makom Rav Yossi, they would put it the opposite way. The Bisrul El would be on the outside. And therefore, if the Bisrul was on the El, you would have to have a Maisa Uman to smooth it out. Because otherwise it looks really gross. They have all these, whatever, the hairs and stuff that's stuck on that's on the outside, sticking out on the shoe, on the outside of the shoe. You see it. So you have to take care of the outside of the shoe. Okay?
They couldn't sell that
jewelry. I doubt they could sell it. Zeha klal. This is the klal. The Mishnah says, kol shenei osin bo b'yontif, anything that you can use as is on yontif, you don't have to fix it up. Mishalchin, right? The Mishnah says, mishalchin osal reyeh b'yontif. That you can send on yontif. Rav Sheshes, shari luhul rabbanon l'shadure tfilin b'yom atova. Rav Sheshes permitted the Chachamim to send tefillin from one person to another person on Yontif. So Amar Le, Abaye says to him, V'ha'anantanan, did we learn the Mishnah? Kol shenei osin bo b'yontif mishalchin oso. Only if you can use it on Yontif, you can send it. And you don't use tefillin on Yontif. Yontif is not as man tefillin. Right, Rashi says, Rashi's later, okay. Kol shenei osin b'chol. So the Gemara answers, all right, so the Rabbi says, how can you send tefillin? How can you tefillin? You don't wear tefillin on Yontif. So the Gemara says, no, this is what the Tana meant. Kol shenei osin bo b'chol, anything that you can use on a weekday, as is, doesn't need any fixing up. If you can use the way it is on a weekday, mishalchin also b'yontif. You can send that on Yontif. And that comes to include tefillin, because that is something that you can use during the week as is. Because you don't put on tefillin on Yontif, but you're allowed to say to send them. So Rashi says, Mishachan also b'yontif, the high b'yontif, the tani b'masnisin. When it says that kol shnei osin b'yontif in the Mishnah, that's the lashon of the Mishnah. That makes sense. Like it has to be able to be used on Yontif. Lav an the osin de la kamei ela amashalchin de basrei. It's talking about what you can send. Ulasui tefillin comes to include tefillin asa de I nami monach luhu b'yontif leki sur. Because Rashi says even if you put it on Yontif, there's no iser. It's not the Zman, but it's not Usr. Umi, it's the question, that's what they ask us. So what about Sanal HaMasumar? Right, the Sanal HaMasumar, we just said in the previous part of the Mishnah, you may not wear it on Yontif, and you may not send it.
You may not wear it on the
Chol
either.
Well, you can wear it on the Chol, Sanal HaMasumar. Yes, you can. It's only Takan on Yontif.
Where it's not completed.
No, it's not completed. Is the Sandal, is the Min HaLavon. Or the sandal, the sandal ha mesumar, the gezeira was that you can't wear it on Yontif because of the ma'aser shehayah. Yontif for Shabbos.
Why is only that so Yontif?
That was the takana that was made. It can't be worn on Shabbos on Yontif. Maybe that's when the story took place. But it doesn't say anywhere you're not allowed to wear it on Chol.
What constitutes mukta?
This doesn't. This is long. Kol shnei osin b'chol. Because this is complete. If it wasn't.
No, I'm talking about tefillin. What constitutes. If you're allowed to send tefillin.
Right.
And you don't use on yontif. You don't need it on yontif. What constitutes mukta?
with different types of muksa. This doesn't categorize as coming to category muksa.
So what's a category muksa?
I don't know. Buses lover asher muksa machmas sichar and kis klishim alakdal lehet iser all them. So this doesn't fall under the categories according to him. What?
This
is lamed tzara. It is lamed tzara.
For what?
Because you get because you're allowed because you want the person to have it. Let's finish reading Rashi. Jump in the gun. Umiyu sandal masuma lo the sandal can't because. The low lame in the shorter rabbanon l'shalach l'shmayim mutal l'nino. Sanam l'sumer is different because if you're afraid, if you let them send him, you're allowed to wear them. But what's the story with tefillin? So the
they won't help you to wear.
It's not usher to wear. It's but it's not usher to wear.
Not
usher to wear. So it's not a klishim
so
l'achdol
l'zer. I don't care if it's usher or not. You don't use it on yontif.
But it doesn't constitute muksa. There are plenty of things that you don't use on Yontif, but if it's a klisha malachta leheter, you're allowed to move it. Let's serve kufa, let's serve makomo. Why not?
I don't know.
It's not a klisha malachta leheter. If it's not usher to use it on Yontif, it cannot be a klisha malachta leheter. I don't understand why it's not considered a machmas or a kiss, or muksa machmas mitzvah, but other things like that. I get the idea is that there's a simplest Yontif to the Makabel, as Beis Yosef says. But there's such a simplest Yontif to the Makabel, and therefore it doesn't categorize under a muksa.
The question about the
tefillin
itself,
you can wear a shabbos, but we don't wear a shabbos because of the oster. No, it's not. Muksa is not muksa. There are at least 11 categories of muksa, possibly more. So to say muksa is muksa is completely off base. That's not true. That's simply not true.
If you're right, that's not correct.
That's simply not true. Now, did we pasken this way? I don't know. I don't know if we pasken this way or not. But Rav Sheshi is obviously holding. Rav Sheshi is hot. No. Maybe your conception of the Pesach is correct, but Rav Sheshi is not holding like that. He's saying that since you can be worn on Yontif if you wanted to, and there's a simplest Yontif element to the receipt, he doesn't categorize it as a muksa problem. He doesn't categorize it.
So what's the reason of you can't count? What's the reason on Shabbos why it's muksa?
I don't know if it's muksa now. You don't wear on Shabbos because of the os. His tefillin's an os. He's supposed to have two osos.
Therefore, we should, it becomes muksa.
Right? I don't know. Maybe it doesn't become. Maybe there's no chiyuv to wear.
I was in a shul in Jersey a year ago, and they have every Friday night they have a little chabura about halacha, and they were doing tefillin's tefillin, and they worked from the shalat to the rav. Are you allowed to bring tefillin as show and tell on Shabbos? Because we're dealing with the inyan, and now we're talking about it. So can I bring it out and show it to everybody else to use it? He wasn't very happy about the idea. But he didn't say, but his answer was, luckily, it's probably nothing wrong.
Okay. So next. So Amar Abayi, Abayi says, Amar Abayi, Tefillin, the whole of Asul Yadon, now that we've already started talking about Tefillin, name of Milsa. Let's say some words about Tefillin. Once we're on the topic, let's say some words about Tefillin. So, Hayaba Baderach. Guy's walking. Rashi says this is taking place in Erev Shabbos. It's Machlokas Rashi Tosas. Rashi says this is taking place in Erev Shabbos. Guy's walking in Erev Shabbos. The Tefillin Barosho, and he's wearing his Tefillin. V'shaka l'avchamo. And all of a sudden, they didn't have clocks. They didn't have watches back then. Sees the sun is setting. He's not anywhere near where he could place the Tefillin in a safe place. So miniach yado alehem. He could put his Tefillin, his hand, cut to cover the Tefillin. Ad shemeki l'beisu. Until he gets to his house, and then take them off. Meaning he's wearing the Tefillin on Shabbos. Oh, it's Muksa? No, it's not. Achimigia lebesim. Hayu Yoshev the base of Medrash. If he was sitting also on Erev Shabbos in the base Medrash, I guess the base Medrash is outside of the field, he doesn't know, right? But Tefillin Berosho, the Kaddish Alav Hayom, and all of a sudden it becomes Shabbos, Meniach Yado Alein, he puts his hand over them to cover them, Achimigia lebeso, until he gets to his house, even though he is now being Motzi the Tefillin A from Rishus Lushus, and he's going to be Marvir them, Dalet Amos Rishus Harabim, they will mock you to do this because if you take them off and you leave them in the field, it can come to be Bizdoyim. But that's dafka if you carry them out in some sort of shinoi, which would be an Isser Derabanan, that's when they allowed you to carry it out. But if you metal to them in a regular way, in your hands, you can't do that, because that's a regular derech hotzah. You have a problem of hotzah. So
why is he covering that? So people should
it's a shinoi. He's wearing them.
So swearing on his head. That's a
so why is he covering them? It's a good question. Why is he covering them? Maybe just that's the so he would know that's not
derech. It says here people should not see that he's wearing them.
Right. So I don't understand how that makes a difference though, because we just had a Gemara a few days ago that said anything that's usher b'shem maris ayin is even usher to be done b'chadri chadorim. So I don't think it could be a maris ayin issue. Despite the footnote, I don't think that's correct.
Well, Rashi said
it. No, I don't think that's. Then you have to answer Rashi, right? Where does Rashi say that? What? Shelo yirum. Shelo yirum. Shachamim kiyul lechnis lami ir derech malvus ti ha'avar klacher yad mishum bizayon. Shelo yirum. I don't know, but doesn't mean it's Maris. Maybe to cover it up, but maybe it doesn't mean. But maybe it's not Maris Ayin. I don't think the Shash can be Maris Ayin, because then you can't do it anyway. Okay, so Masiv Rav Huna Bereid Rav Ika. So Rav Huna Bereid Rav Ika asks Abaye. Wait a second. Let me ask you a question. You said we can bring it all the way to the house, to your house. I have another Brisa, right? Hayabad Bab Derech. He is walking on the way. Utzvilin Verosho, and the Utzvilin is on his head. The Kaddish Alav Ayom, and it comes Shabbos. Meniach Yado Aleihem, he puts his hand on it to cover them. Ach Megiel Lebeis Hasamach Chom. Until he gets to the first house, one Bryce says you walk all the way home. This Bryce says you just get to the first house. Then Bryce continues. Hayoshev Beis Hamedrash. The kid Kaddish Shalva Yom. Meniach Yado Aleihem. Ach Megiel Lebeis Hasamach Beis Hamedrash. You're going to get to the first house. You can get to the first place. There's a big difference between the first place and your home. It could be miles. Who knows? So Gemara says Lokasha. There is no question. No contradiction. Hadlo Mintura. The second brisa says you get to the first house, and that's because that place is a makom meshumar. That's a guarded area. So if the guarded area is the first place you can get to, you can drop it off there. But if the first place you can get to is not a guarded area, you can even walk all the way to your house. You don't have to go to the second house, the third house, the fourth house. You can go all the way to your house. So Gemara says, wait a second. If we're talking about a case that it's ilo dimintara, if the bai is talking about a case where the tefillin is not going to be guarded in the house that's close to the wall or close to the base medrash, But if it is a guarded place, if it is guarded, then he does have to take them off and put them there. So my ear berosho, who cares that he's actually wearing them? Afilu machaton ba'arei nami. Even where he finds them on the ground on Shabbos, he's allowed to put them on and take them to that house. What's the chiddush? So that he was wearing them on Erev Shabbos, and then Erev Shabbos, the sun started to set, he could bring them to the first house. We have a Mishnah in Erevin that says, Hamotzi tefillin machnisin zuzug. If you find a bunch of pairs of tefillin on the floor on Shabbos, you are allowed to take them one pair at a time. Put one pair on, bring it to the house. Bring another pair, bring it to the house. What's the chiddush of the Mishnah? You were wearing it on Erev Shabbos, and the sun starts to set, and then even if you're not wearing it on Erev Shabbos, just find it. You can bring it to a makom meshumar. So Gemara says, okay, no, kasha. I'm gonna change now the distinction between the two brisas. Right, one brisa said you bring it to the first house, and our brisa said you bring it all the way to your house. Lo kasha ha, the brisa that said that you have to take the tefillin off to the house that's samach the choma, samach beis hamedrash, that's the mintara machmas ganave umachmas kalve. That's a really guarded house. That means it's got like a safe. The thieves can't get there, the dogs can't get there to rip it away. But ha, where Abai says that you have to bring it all the way to your house, that's because the mintara machmas kalve below mintara machmas ganave. The house that's close to the wall is only partially secure. In other words, the dogs can't get it to rip it away, but Ganavim could get it. So why would the tame of Yudav thought, Rov Listin Yisrael Ninhu, Yudav, I don't know what this means. Yudav thought that most of the thieves there are Yisraelim, right, in the area, right? The Lo Mizal Zibahu, and even though they're thieves, the tefillin is something they stay away from. You know, it's like, never mess with the family. Or something like that. If you ever mess, never mess with the tefillin. Kamash Milan, that no, comes to by tell you that no, even though, as long as it's not Meshumar from Ganavim, even though the Ganavim are Yisraelim, that's still not considered Meshumar, and then you still have the Hector to bring it all the way to the to your house. Right, so it seems to be from the Gemara, and that's how I said it. It seems to be that the first house is not Meshumar, you don't have to go to the first Meshumar house. Once you bypass in that first house, you can go all the way to your home, which seems to be the same idea with, you know, Klishim Lachdol Isser, when you pick it up, sort of a Komo, it's not like the second you picked it, you have to drop it. You can now just bring it wherever it needs to be gone. Once you have that head to pick it up, you can bring it wherever it is.
Once you walk right past Dal Amos, so what's the difference whether you walk 8 amos, 20, or 9.
Because you want.
Because
you're supposed to try to limit it. You're still violating the Rabbanon, at least because it's Kvachar Yad. But you're still violating the Din the Rabbanon. You're supposed to limit. Ideas to limit. Have me to be to limit your violation.
Right.
Kamash Malad, what you're saying.
You get more. Lav, the more amos you go, every 4 amos you get a new lav, or just.
You still shouldn't be doing the Isra. Once you do, just 2 wrongs don't make it right. You continue doing something wrong. You're supposed to stop what you're doing wrong as quickly as possible.
Right, so if you milk within 6 hours.
Don't eat it again. Right. If you accidentally ate on a tzom, I broke my fast. Now I can have a meal? No, don't eat it anymore. You know, just stop. limit the violations. Okay. Next. Hajjan alam Beitzer. Shanolda. Next parak. So this parak, it's all familiar basically. I think the issues we come up is because we're too familiar. And as Mati always says, a little knowledge is very, very dangerous. So the Mishnah deals, this first part of the parak is to deal with what happens if Yontif falls out on Erev Shabbos. Right? If Yontif is a Friday, it doesn't make a difference if it's Yontif and Erev Shabbos. It's first day Yontif or second day Yontif. Yontif falls out on Erev Shabbos. How do you pair? How do you cook? From Yontov to Shabbos. So, Midoraisa, there is no problem cooking from Yontov to Shabbos. We saw that. That is a machlokas amaroim in Pesachim and Daf Mem Vav Amad Beis. It has to be mutter Midoraisa because you can't have a takan derabanan, which we're going to see of Eir Tavshilin, and allow you to cook from one day to the next. A takan derabanan cannot uproot an Isidoraisa. So, Midoraisa, you're allowed to cook from Yontov to Shabbos. Machlokas is what the reason is. Machlokas in Rabba and Rav Chisda. Right? Rabba held you have the concept of hoil, of sins. You're allowed to cook because possibility exists and maybe guests will come at the end of the day and therefore you're allowed to cook. And the guests don't come, you just use it for Shabbos. That is Rabbah. Rav Chizda says no. He says the reason is because Minatorah, Tzarcha Shabbos, not some Yontif. Tzarcha Shabbos are permitted to be done on Yontif because Rashi over there in Pesachim says that Shabbos and Yontif for this are considered Kedusha Achas. They're both considered Shabbos and therefore Midoraisa, you're allowed to cook from Shabbos to Yontif. Practical nafkamina, obviously between the two of them would be, let's say, it's 2 minutes before the end of the day, there are no guests coming, or you live out of the boondocks, and there are no guests coming. According to Hoyil, you may not be able to cook from Shabbos to Yontif in that instance, according to Chizda, which Tzarchish. We just said, we derise you allowed to cook from Shabbos to Yontif.
From Yontif to Shabbos.
But according to Chizda, where Tzarchish, Shabbos are not some Yontif, maybe you would be able to cook. That's a possibility. Okay, but that's the Rabbanon. That was Chol. Chol the Rabbah was Chol, and the Mishnah, the first parak was a Takana al Chol the Rabbah. That was one of the Shitas. That was Chol. But here we're saying Sarchei Shabbos Nasa B'Yontif. That would be that we talked about. That was in the beginning of the parak. That was the.
Any Chachana for Shabbos has to be on a Chol day. Are you cooking on Yontif? For a Shabbos,
so Yachanah Zash on that level. Is that Yachanah cooking the same idea? Right, maybe that's not the Rabbanon level. That was a Din the Rabbanon. But the Araisa, it's Arach Shabbos, or Nasa B'Chol. Not to be Yontif. That was on the Rabbanon level there. Okay, so now. Yontif Shechal Yosei Shabbos. So Yontif falls out on Friday. Lo Yivasha B'Tchilim Yontif L'Shabbos. You may not, in the first instance, cook from or prepare from Yontif to Shabbos. Right? Aval Mavashal Hu Yontif. You could cook for Yontif. The im hosir, if anything's left over, hosil Shabbos, and it's left over for Shabbos. We can't have specific intent to cook from Yontov to Shabbos. But what do? Make the Erev Tavshilin. We know you make the Erev Tavshilin, which is osir Tavshil Erev Yontov. What you do is you make a Tavshil, you prepare a dish on Erev Yontov specifically for Shabbos. V'somei chalav Shabbos. It's viewed as if you already started cooking for Shabbos at Erev Yontov. You already started cooking for Shabbos. You can continue your cooking for Shabbos on Yontov. Rashi says, "Lo yivashu b'tchila lihios tchilas bishulo v'yikar l'shem Shabbos." Your cooking should not be specifically in the first instance before Shabbos. El l'shem yontif. It should be l'shem yontif. The mashuya liyav Shabbos. That's what we said before. But you can make an osit. Or you can make the erev tavshila. Make the erev tavshila. It says if you started the process, if you started cooking, and that's enough to overcome the takan d'rabbanan, then you may not cook on yontif for Shabbos. So what do you have to have prepared? So Beishamei Omrim, Shnei Tavshilin. You have to have 2 cooked items. I wonder if this is similar to, like, you know, by Rishloach Manos. What, right? You have to Shnei Tavshilin. Beis Hillel Omrim, Tavshil Echad. You only need 1 cooked item on Erev Yontif in order to continue. Beishavin, but Beishamei agrees to Beis Hillel, Bedag u Beitz Alav. They used to have some sort of dish, I guess, where they would spread out the egg on top of the fish That's considered enough. Beishamah said that's sufficient. Right, Shehein Shnei Tavshilin. That even Beishamah agrees that that's considered two Tavshilin. I don't know what the Chiddush is. Rashi says, Beitzah She'olav, She'utachin Beitzim Aladad, Yishitzolim also. Somehow they would spread out the egg on the fish when they would roast the fish. Or roast the egg. I don't know which one they were roasting.
So it comes out to be one.
Comes out to be one big Michael together, did together. Right? So Beishamah said two, Beishilah says one. Now, what happens if you make your Erev Tavshilin, and now it's gone? And comes to the second, comes to the, you made an Erev Yontif, right? Let's say now it's easier here. So Yontif is Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. You make it on Wednesday afternoon. Come Friday, your Erev Tavshilin is gone. Someone ate it, it fell, it's gone. So Achalol to Tavshil, or went missing. Lo Yivasha Allah B'tchila. You may not, you can't use it. You can't be so much on it to cook for on Yontif for Shabbos, because the whole purpose of the Erev is viewed as the Haskalah, is the beginning of your preparations. If it's no longer there, well, you're no longer beginning to prepare. It's gone. But that's part of the process. I'm taking this tavshil and continue cooking this tavshil.
Eat it on Shabbos.
And but it's not there anymore.
You'd be cooking egg and now you're cooking chicken. But how'd that egg start?
It's part of your meal. It's part of your meal. It's viewed as part of your meal. If you don't have the meal, it's not going to be part of your meal. Correct. So if im shiri menu kol shehu, but if even a little bit is left over, right? Gemara's gonna say tomorrow's not. Gemara's gonna say that's a kazayis. Then somech alav, you can be somech on it, and you can be cooked from yontif to Shabbos. Right? Rashi says achlo osha avik kodem she bishel kol tzarchei Shabbos. If it gets lost before you finished all your preparations, meaning I guess that means if you finish all your preparations and then someone eats it, the food that you made is not considered muksa or something like that. You can still eat it. Okay.
It should be a problem.
Okay. Well, it's a dorbanan, so they were gozer here and not gozer there. So now the Gemara brings the makor. What's the makor for Eretz Yisrael? They're trying to figure out what pasuk is somechan. It's ad d'oraisa, but what's the esmacha? So we know hanimili. From where do we know that you have to put down the Erev Tavshilin? And if you don't put down the Erev Tavshilin, then it's not allowed to cook from yontif to Shabbos, even though it's only a din d'rabanan. I guess, the point is where the Chachamim, you know, most of the time, you know, they have to get the Chachamim, get it from somewhere. It was smach of where they're getting it from. So Amar Shmuel says, the Amakra, the Pasuk says, Zachor es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. You have to remember the Shabbos to be Mekadosh it. Zachreyu Me'acher Shabbat L'Ashkicho. You should try, when it comes to a possibility where you may forget Shabbos due to something else. Something else is going to cause you to forget Shabbos. You have to do something specifically to remember it. What does that mean? Rashi says, Zachreyu me'achar Shabbat l'ashkicho, last wide line, Kishabbat yontav erer Shabbos. When yontav falls down erer Shabbos, karov Shabbos lishtakeach machmas yontav. The possibility exists that you're going to forget about Shabbos due to yontav, because you're going to be eating all your food on yontav. Right? Shemar be'besudas hayom, ve'enem aniyach l'shabbos k'dei kvodo. You're not going to leave over. You're going to drink all your wine, but you're not going to have anything left for Shabbos. Not a problem. Not a problem. The hezhiracha kosev lezachreyo. So the Torah, the pasuk says, reminded you, remember Shabbos. Don't forget about the food you have to have for Shabbos. Ukishema ariv eruv tavshilim nimtza shezochreyo. And when you make the eruv tavshilim, you'll see, I'll remember. I remember now that I have to leave over food for Shabbos. Sharei eno ose ela machma Shabbos. Because he's making the food machma Shabbos. I know I'm going to leave over. Okay, that's one. So Gemara says, okay, my taima. What is that? What's the reason behind this takana? Why do you have to have it? So machlokas are over Ravashi. Amar Rava, kidei sheyivra money yafel Shabbos, money yafel liyantov. In order that you like, why they make the eruv? What does the eruv do? In other words, because Rashi says the pasuk is for certainly not talking about eruv, right? It's just an asmachta. So, but what was the reason why? Because zachreil yom Shabbos kacho is we talk about zachreil. It's kiddush. It's making kiddush. Zachreil oyayin. That's what that pasuk is. So Rava says, "Kedei sheyivra mana yafel Shabbos umana yafel liyantiv." Rashi says, "Mitoch shema arev." When you see the eruv, zocher is a Shabbos. You remember Shabbos. The ena mechale as a kol liyantiv. You're not going to devour everything on yantiv. Uborer mana lazeh umana lazeh, and you're going to separate a nice meal for yantiv and a nice meal for Shabbos. So the eruv tavshilin sort of reminds you, and I guess with that reminder, you now have the head there. Rav Ashi Amar, no, it says, "Kedei sheyomru ein ofim miyantiv l'Shabbos." According to Rava, it seems that the takana is the Eir Tavshilin is there to protect Shabbos. According to Rav Ashi, the Eir Tavshilin is here to remind you to protect Yontif. Because people may have thought, if you can cook from Yontif to Shabbos, maybe you can cook from Yontif to Chol, and you'll be Mezalzel Yontif. So you put the Eir Tavshilin out to remind everybody the only reason why we're allowed to cook today for tomorrow is because we have the Eir Tavshilin. Today's Yontif, tomorrow's Shabbos. But no way can you cook from Yom Tov to Chol. Yeah, yeah. Well. So right, Rav Ashi says, Lo lechavod Shabbos teknu, elo lechavod Yom Tov, kedei sheyomru ein ofen mi Yom Tov l'Shabbos, elo im kein hischilmi be'od yom, de'enu elo kegomer v'holich. About a school, hello. You're only allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos if you began the process. You started the put the Erev Tashilin down on Erev Yom Tov, then you continue cooking through Yom Tov for Shabbos. But you won't have the problem because you won't think you cook from Yom Tov to Chol. I don't know. You put the Erev Tashilin down and say, okay, I put the Erev Tashilin down. Now I can continue cooking for Chol. No, okay, maybe not. The idea is that if you have, according to Rav Ashi, if you put the Erev Tashilin down, you'll recognize that the only reason why you're allowed to cook today for tomorrow is because I began my preparations today. When it comes to Chol, I would never do that. I can just prepare on Chol. Exactly. Why would I start? Okay.
Why would the worst problem? According to that, why would you have to make the Erev Tashilin Erev Yom Tov? Why can't you make the Erev Tashilin?
Tznan, let's just continue.
Tznan.
Okay, let's read on. Tznan, Osa Tavshim Erev Yom Tov, V'somech Alav Shabbos. You put down the Erev Tashilin Erev Yom Tov, and you V'somech on it to be cooked for Yom Tov to Shabbos. So Bishma Rav Ashi, you have to put on Erev Yom Tov, it said in the Mishnah. So Bishma Rav Ashi, I understand according to Rav Ashi, the Amar Kadeshi Yomru ain't open mi Yom Tov l'Shabbos. That's the reason why it has to be put down the Erev Yom Tov in, has to be put down on Erev Yom Tov, but be Yom Tov lo. Why not? Rashi says, Bishma Rav Ashi, the Amar l'chavod Yom Tov tiknu, all the for covered Yom Tov, Kadeshi Yomru asu l'hasil b'shule b'Shabbos be Yom Tov, because you're not going to start cooking for Shabbos on Yom Tov. Because the whole purpose of Rav Ashi is to show that since I started preparing before, I can continue preparing. So therefore, the only time you have that hecker is if I started preparing before. So you have to put it down on Erev Yom Tov. Right? The whole protection, you're protecting Yom Tov. You're protecting Yom Tov. So we say, you're not going to be confused and allow you to cook from Yom Tov to Chol because I know I'm only cooking from Yom Tov to Shabbos because I started preparing the day before. So now I understand why I have to have the Erev Tashilin down the day before. Because the only way I protect you from that confusion is if I started prior to Yom Tov. I started prior to Yom Tov, and now continue on to Shabbos. But according to Rava, right, Ella Le Rava, who says the whole problem is, you just have to make sure to remember to have a special dish on Yom Tov, and a special dish on Shabbos, so why do I have to put it down on Erev Yom Tov? Put the Erev Tashilin down on Yom Tov. Now I have I can be reminded. Cook for Yom Tov, and I'll have left over. I'll remember to take over Shabbos, so why do I have to put it down on Erev Yom Tov? So Gemara says, Eina Chanami. According to Rava's answer, ain't a chanami that you can put it. You should be able to put it down on Shabbos. Ella on Yom Tov. Ella gzeira shema yifsha. There's a part of the gzeira was you're worried you're going to forget. So you make sure to put it down on Erev Yom Tov. Right? Rashi says. If you made it before Sudas Yom Tov, you're still going to be a Zechira. But so he says, no, Shema Yivsha, maybe you're going to forget, Velo Ya'arev Mishum B'Tarid. Because you're going to be so busy on Yom Tov. So apparently they were busier on Yom Tov than on Erev Yom Tov, which I think is like not the case these days. But apparently they were...
too busy celebrating.
On Yom Tov. Because they partied. They partied on Yom Tov, so they'd be too busy with the party, and they would forget. So Rava says, make an Erev Yom Tov when you have more time. Our wives would argue. our wives would argue.
No kidding.
Okay. So that's where up to now we said that we got the idea of the takana for the Erev Tashilin from the pasuk of Zachar Siyom Shabbos Pekasho. And now the Tana Maisle Mahacha. Another Brisa, I guess they learned it out from the following Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Shmos Perek Hazayin, this is by the Parshas Haman, that Moshe Rabbeinu tells B'nai Yisrael on Erev Shabbos, he says, Shabboson, Shabbos, Kodosh Hashem Machar, it says, Es Asher To'ofu, Ofu, Ves Asher Tivashelu, Vashelu. Whatever you bake in advance, that's the Pasuk Pshat, and whatever you cook in advance. So, basically, they're looking at it. It seems to be a little bit extra. It should just say kol sher whatever you need ofu, kol sher ta'ofu and kol sher tevashelu. I guess it could say. Why does it say this whole arichos? So mikan amar Rabbi Eliezer. From here, Rabbi Eliezer says that ein ofin ela al ofoi they mivashlim ela al mavushal. On Yom Tov, on Erev Shabbos, you may only bake if you already started baking, or you only cook if you already started cooking. Meaning, only if you put down an Erev Tashilin, then you continue to do the cooking or the baking. Right, Rashi says, Es asher to afu afu, had the leila michtav, it should have written, Hayom afu bashelu. Today, meaning on Friday, cook and bake. Right, that pasuk talking about a Friday. Right, Ela ramasu sheyeshtach hayom shishi, she'ein ofen l'tzarech machar. It comes to teach, gives a remez, that there is a certain Friday where you shouldn't be cooking for the next day. Ela ala afoy, only if you already started cooking on day before, which would be on Thursday. Right, mikan samchu le'ir tashilin min haTorah. Here is the smach, they have eir tashilin min haTorah. Again, it's only the Tachana d'Rabbanan, it's only din d'Rabbanan. I think that's the drasha that they learned out. Tana Rabbanan. I guess now that we're talking about Simchas Yontov, we're going to bring another brisa about Simchas Yontov. Tana Rabbanan. Ma'aseh Rabbi Lezer. Here's a story that happened to Rabbi Lezer. Shai Yoshe v'dorish kol yom kulo v'hilchas Yontov. He was darshan the whole day, learning Yontov, learning Hilchas Yontov all day on Yontov. So guys got tired, they're done. So Yatzal Kasri Shona, the first group of people got up and they left. They went to go home to eat. Right? Amar Halalu Bale Patasin. These are the barrel people. The people that went home, they must have a lot of wine in their barrels. So they're leaving now because they want to drink all the wine in their barrels. They need more time to drink. Kachnia, the second group got up. Amar Halalu Bale Chavios. Hey, these are the Bale Chavios. These are the guys who have kegs. They're small in the barrels, but they still have what to drink, so they're leaving now to drink what's in their kegs. Kachlishis, the third group got up to left. Amar Halal Bali Kadin. These are the ones who have the jugs. So even smaller. Kat Revi, Amar Halal Bali Laginin. Got Laginin. These are the group that have flasks. They stayed long enough and now they're going to go drink their flasks. Kat Chamishis, the fifth group got up. Amar Halal Bali Kosos. These guys are the ones who have cups of wine. They stayed a little long for the shear. Now they're going home to drink their cups of wine. Hischilu Kashishis Latseis. Now the sixth group got up and then he gets upset. Amar halalu bale mi'ira. Mi'ira. These are the desolate ones. These guys have nothing. What are these guys doing to get up? He was mocked on these guys the most. I guess, where are they going now? They've been here so long. Right, they've been here so... Where are they going? Where are they going? These other people had wine. Where are you guys going?
No, he's saying it's a busher, Mamish. No, there's no one left in the shop.
No, there's still... You'll see there are more people left. Right? I hear you. I thought that was, and that's what seems to be what Rashi says, but then there are more people, the next line says there are more people there. So he yells at the sixth group to leave. So Nasan Einav B'Talmidim, so then Rabbi Lezer starts looking at the Talmidim who are still there, V'Yischilu Panein Mishtanim, and they got pale, basically. Their faces, what's he going to say to us? Right, what are they going to say to us? Right,
But they didn't leave yet.
Right, so they're hot, so Rashi says, read Rashi. Rashi says, last short line, Yischilu Panein Mishtanin, Hisovrim Kisvurim, they thought, Shekois Al Kashishis, he was upset at the sixth group, Mipnesha Ichru Latseis, because they should have gone earlier to Simchas Yontov. He was upset that they didn't go. And we're still here, he's like, get really upset at us. So then he says, so Amar Lahem, he says, no, Banai, Lo Lachem Ani Omer, I'm not going to say anything to you, Elo Lahalalo Sheyotzu. I just gave Musa to those that left. They're leaving Divrei Torah, but Oskim B'Chayei Shah, to be Osek in these worldly matters, right? Rashi says, Chayei Shah is Se'uda.
So wait.
So the first group, at least they're going to, we'll see, we'll get in a minute. So B'Shas B'Tirasan, but when these Talmidim left the base Medrash, he said to them, Amar Lahem, L'chlu, this is the Pasuk in the Chemyo that Ezra tells to Bnei Yisrael Rosh Hashanah, Lichu ichlu mashmanim, go eat some food, shtu mamtakim, drink some sweets, v'shachu manos le'inachalo, and send foods to the one who doesn't have le'inachalo. We'll see if not the one who doesn't have, it's the one who doesn't put down an erev tavshilin. Ki kadosh hayom la'adonenu, because today is the holy day for our master. Va'al te'atzevu, don't be too sad. Ki chedras hayom mu'zechem, and we're going to figure out what that means. So he gets upset for them for leaving, but then when they do leave, he says, go eat. So Amar Mar, Gmar says, What are you talking about? Simchas Yontov mitzvah. Simchas Yontov is a mitzvah. You're supposed to eat on Yontov. What do you mean? Got to be upset then for leaving the shir to go eat. They have a mitzvah to go eat today. Rabbi Lezer Tamei. It's machlokas about Yontov. Rabbi Lezer says the Amar Simchas Yontov Rishus. Simchas Yontov is only a Rishus. The Tanya, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ein lo la'adam yontov, ela o ocha v'shose, o yeshu v'shone. You have a choice on Yontov, according to Rabbi Lezer. Either you sit and learn, or you go party. One or the other. But Rabbi Yeshua Omer Chalkeu. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you split. Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. You have to do part of the day of learning and part of the day. But everyone agrees when it comes to Shavuos, you have to have the meal. That's another drasha.
We don't quote the Yeshua's Shita.
We'll always quote Rabbi Yeshua. Well, we only quote half of Rabbi Yeshua's Shita. We only quote the Lachem. Right. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says Ushneya Mikra Echad Darshu. They both learned it out from the same pasuk because there seems to be a steer in the pasukim. Kasev Echad Omer. This is by the Shviyah Shal Pesach. The pasuk says Atzeres LaShem Lekecha. The yontah should be for Hashem. And when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, actually it says Kasev Echad Omer Atzeres Tiyeh Lachem. It should be Lachem. So Haketzad? How can you? How can these two pesukim go together? Rabbi Lezer Sabar Lezer says Okul Hashem Okul Lachem. You have a choice: either all to Hashem or all to you. Maybe Rabbi Shua Sabar Chetzi Hashem or Chetzi Lachem. Part can go to you and part can go to Hashem. You can split the day. You can split the day.
Right. Can you explain this far, Rabbi Lezer? Either all or nothing. Why can't there be something in between?
It's because the pesukim tell you one pasuk says Hashem and one pasuk says Lachem. Right. That's a contradiction.
If you so desire, spend all day partying,
or so desire, right? But if you
can't do both.
But so these guys who were learning all day, and where were they going now? They were showing that they wanted to spend the day. It's cool, Lachem, and now they're leaving. This is what are you guys doing? But the guys who stayed, and then he finished. He goes, now you can go. Now you can go eat.
What happened to all day?
Because he finished. I hear you.
It's a very hard
start. I hear you. It's very difficult.
Shavuos,
you're supposed to.
That's not Shavuos. Everything's like a kipper.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, you're allowed to eat. I guess you're just not supposed to. I don't know. When are you supposed to eat? When you're not? I don't know.
He gave him a blessing. Go home and eat now.
The same group. He said, go home and eat. He should have told him, okay, we finished my shir, now open a safer and continue learning.
Yeah.
I hear you. I don't know. Okay. And the pasuk said in Nehemiah, my le'ein nachon lo. What does it mean, le'ein nachon lo? It should be le'ein lo, the one who doesn't have. Pasuk says, send food, le'ein nachon lo. What does ein nachon lo? It means, Amr Chizda, that means send food to the person who did not put down his Erev Tavshilin, and therefore he cannot cook on Erev Yontif for Shabbos, which is difficult. I know historically the kind of Erev Tavshilin was already at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. I don't know. So Igad Amri means Mishalo Hayalo Lehaniach Erev Tavshilin. It means to a person who wasn't able to put down Erev Tavshilin, not that he was posheya, but that he forgot. Right? Aval Misha Hayalo Lehaniach Erev Tavshilin Lo Haniach. But somebody who had the ability to put down the Eretz Shilin but didn't put it down, Posheyahu, he's a Posheya. Therefore, not that you're not allowed to send him, it's not a mitzvah to send him food. I would think it would be, but so he was Posheya, but he still has to eat. So send it, but it's not a mitzvah, the pasuk doesn't demand of you to send him food. The end of the pasuk says, Umay ki chedves Hashem hi ma'uzeichem. The joy of Hashem is your security. Chedves Hashem hi ma'uzeichem. So Amr Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Lazar, the Rebbe Shimon, Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should all learn this lesson, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Bnei Yisrael, Amr HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Banai Livu Alai, borrow on my behalf, V'kitshu Kedushas Hayom, V'aminu Bi V'ani Poreya. Don't worry about all your expenses that you're spending on Yontif, borrow on my behalf, spend what you need to spend for Yontif, I'll pay you back, right? Ki Chedvas Hashem Ma'ozeichem. The joy that you're going to have on Yontif, that's your security, that's like your mashkel. It's like you have collateral against me for all your expenses that you send out on Yontif.
Yes, if you all got a nice program, then don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, so I'm wondering what the limitation. I'm wondering what the limitation. But there seems to be Tosos. So I think Tosos actually addresses that because there's a Gemara in Pesachim that says it says Ashei Shabbat Lachol V'yat Tzarich Lebrios. You should try not to borrow. Not to borrow. You should just. It's better to make your Shabbos. And your Yontif
claim.
So it says, how do you mean you just aim low with throw? If you don't have what to pay back, meaning let's say you have assets that are frozen assets, borrow against that and don't worry, I'll make sure that you have your liquid later. But if you don't have any assets to begin with, then you shouldn't be spending whatever it is to go on to the hotel.
Forget the program.
I think it's more of a drush idea. But, okay.
Really?
So the Gemara brings another memra that Rabbi Yochanan said a name Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Whoever Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Harot says she is kaimun uchasav. If you want to keep your assets, yita ben eder. You should grow an eder, which is some sort of tree, right? Rashi says yita ben eder is ilan chashavu. When you have your assets here are your real estate, so you don't want somebody to like commandeer your real estate. Put something that is recognizable. Everyone know You know, that's Yossi's field. You know, that's his field because that Eder is there. No one can say anything because they all know that he has this, you know, this tree in there. Right? Shenamar, as the pasuk says, Adir b'marom Hashem. You have the Adir, that'll be greatness of Hashem. Inami, or you can say Adra Kishmei. Adra means literally, the Amri Inish, my Adra, the Kaimel Dari Dari. What does Adra mean? It's in the last generation to generation, not only the pasuk. It's not that literally. Adar is dar. Like you're gonna live there, something that's there, so you're gonna know that it's there. The dori doris. Taina mihachi. We have rice that's similar to what we just said. Sada sheishbo eder. The sada that has an eder ain't an exelus. It won't be stolen. The eder nechmeses. You won't be kicked out of it. Right? Upeirosei amishtamrim. And the fruits that fall off there are gonna be considered, are gonna be guarded, because everybody knows that it belongs to that individual. So if you want to make sure to maintain your real estate assets, make sure that you have something very indicative of your ownership on the field. Okay, we'll stop here again. Learn today's shir, Zeif Nishmas, my great grandfather, Harav Shmuel Ben David, whose yahrzeit was today. We have say Kaddish, Chanan Mikasha, Omer Rosh Kaddish Baruch Hu, Zach of Israel, Peter Kirov, Torah Mitzvah Shemar, the Rech Beit Zman, Tzvon Gidot, Rav Yadir.
That's gotta be the daily double.
No, it's not the daily double. By the way,
it's only for $100. No, because it's from Echam Yodeya.
Category.
Now you have your cereal.
Right.
Okay. Listen, the yeshiva, there are guys who used to sit with their sandwiches while they were eating.
Right.
Monty, is this a cat? Is this a cat? What's a cat?
Nine.